We continue with our series of sermons in this post-Christmas season, trying to discern the person and work of Jesus Christ and how that impacts us and what it demands of us, what it calls upon us to do and to be with each of our lives. And there's a part of me that wants to find out where everybody stands in the ranking of who's in line to be the next governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia. Have you all checked the Constitution to see where you fall in that? I'm 427th in line. I checked it out, so I should be here next Sunday. But our lives oftentimes do need to have those opportunities to step back and look more closely at ourselves, to look deep within our hearts and our minds, and to see who we are and how close we are to being who we want to be, who we hope to be, and to try and figure out how to bring that chasm to as small a distance as possible. We have an interesting passage of Scripture before us today. It's one that we probably have all heard any number of times over the course of our lives. It's the calling of the first disciples. It's Simon, who became Peter later on. He got the nickname of Peter, and it kind of stuck with him, as nicknames oftentimes do. And it's a story that is familiar, but let's listen to it. Let's hear what we can learn from it today. In the fifth chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, in the first 11 verses, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, and the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men and women." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. May the Lord bless us a portion from his holy word. First thing that anybody really sees in this story is the story of catching the fish, which then reminds all of us of any time that we might have done some fishing. And I know that as I was preparing for today, my thought passed back to the days of my youth when I was 8, 9, something like that, and my mother forced my brothers to take me with them fishing. Now, my brothers are 5 and 8 years older than I, so you know that wasn't their first choice to take their baby brother along with them. But they did, reluctantly. They sat me there, they gave me one worm, a fishing pole, and I just dangled it in the water all afternoon. Well, as things would happen, they didn't catch anything in that whole afternoon that we were out there, and they decided to give up, and they decided to row the boat back into the shore and call it a day. Well, I just left my line hanging in the water, and you know what happened next? The baby brother caught the 18-inch walleye, and I've never let them live that down. But that's what we see. We see this as a story of some great fishing expedition, and we see Jesus having that ability to tell Simon that just put out the nets and you'll get a good catch. And I love Simon's reaction. You can almost hear his voice. You know, he's exhausted. He's been up all night fishing. He's had to listen to a long sermon. He's ready to call it a day. And he says, Lord, I've been up all night. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. We didn't have any luck. There's no fish. They're not, you know, we're just not a good day for fishing. Can't I just go home and go to sleep? And then he says, well, you know, since you asked, I'm only going to do it as a personal favor to you. Kind of the, you can almost hear in his voice the, you're going to owe me, Jesus, in that sentence. Since you asked, I'll do this. And he lets out the nets, and they catch so many fish that they have two boatloads full of fish. And we hear that story, and we see it as a sign of Jesus' miraculous abilities, his ability to control the air and the sea and even the fish within the sea. And we find that a heartwarming story, an encouraging story, a story that tells us something of the person and work of Jesus Christ, that he is Lord of all, even the creatures of the sea, or in this case, of the lake. But there's a lot here that we would miss if that were all that we see. I'm not saying that's a bad thing to see. I'm not saying that we should ignore that. That is a truth that is good for us to see about who Jesus is and his abilities and his being different from anyone else. But if that's all that we see, we're going to miss something very special here. You see, at the end, there's two things that happen. After Jesus and Simon and his partners come back in, there's Simon's response to what he saw, his unworthiness. Simon fell on his knees and said, don't be even around me. I'm not worthy to be near you. Just go away and leave me alone. I'm not worthy to be in your presence. That seeing Jesus as holy other, in both uses of the term holy, and seeing himself as being unworthy. And that's the beginning. That's the beginning of a relationship between Simon Peter and Jesus. For Simon Peter recognizes in himself all that he is and all of his unworthiness, all of his, I would almost think that at that moment, everything he had done wrong in the past was haunting him in his memory and in his heart at that moment. He didn't need somebody to check out an old yearbook. He knew who he was. He knew what he had done. And he felt absolutely unworthy in the presence of Jesus Christ. But the other part of it is that Jesus doesn't see him in that way. He sees who he can be, and he gives Simon the opportunity to follow him. And Simon's response must not be missed, for he left his nets and followed him. He set aside his identity. He set aside who he was. He set aside his whole career, his livelihood, everything about himself he laid to the side to follow Jesus. And he did it in a heartbeat. He didn't take time. He didn't overthink it. He didn't get bogged down in the what ifs and, well, let me think about this. I'll pray about it for a while. He didn't get bogged down in any of that. Last Saturday, a week ago, yesterday, I had the chance to ride along with Cameron Hutchinson, who was acting battalion chief for our Hanover Fire EMS. And we got a call for a woman who fell and broke her leg on the Cold Harbor battlefield back in on the path, about a mile or so in on the path. Well, they sent in the crews with a portable stretcher to go take the woman out, but Cameron was thinking, and he knew there had to be an easier way to get her out of there rather than have those poor guys. I don't care how light you are, after a mile of being carried, you're going to get heavy. And so they were trying to figure out, he was trying to figure out a way to get her out, and so he found a farm that bordered on the park, and we got to the ridge there at the edge of the farm and looked across, and there was the woman right there, not 100 yards from where we were standing. And so you had to go down. There's a gully there, a little creek, just not further than like 2 foot wide creek, and then you go up the other side, and she was right there. Well, I'm following along with Cameron, and we're going down the one side, and he's, you know, he's a lot younger, he's a lot faster, he was well ahead of me. And he goes jumping onto this limb that was in this little creek and onto the other side and up, and he's taking care of the woman, and I'm still making my way down. And I start to look at that log, and I start to think about myself, and I go, well, is that log going to hold me? And so I stopped on the bank of that little creek in that very marshy water bottom there to think about whether or not I should take that next step. I stopped, I thought about whether I could take the next step. I decided I would, and I couldn't. I sank down in that bog. I, for a few moments, you know those things that they have at the used car lots? Yeah, that was me. That was me for those few moments, and then tried to get myself out of there, lost my shoe in the mud. It was not pretty. If I had just kept going, I'd have been fine. But I stopped, I thought, I analyzed it, considered all the possibilities, and I was sunk, literally and figuratively. But Simon heard the call of Jesus. He didn't take time. He didn't go and check with his financial planner to see if his 401k was secure. He didn't go and talk with his family and have a meeting about this option that he had in his life. He didn't give Jesus, you know, well, give me a week, give me 48 hours, give me 72 hours, and I'll let you know whether I'm going to answer this call. He just laid down his nets and followed Jesus. The call that he makes upon us in our lives is no different than the call that he made to Simon on that day. For Simon, when he laid down his nets, laid down himself, laid down his identity, laid down his image of who he was, he laid down everything about himself to follow Jesus. And he found a whole new identity in following Jesus. See, the call that he makes upon each of our hearts this day is to find our identity not in what we do, not in any other way or mean than to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to find our worth, to find our purpose, to find our identity, to find our calling in Him and Him alone. If we take time and we think about it and rethink and overthink and think again, we're going to get bogged down. The call to follow Jesus is a call that we need to hear clearly and well, and we need to answer with an affirmative yes and say, "Here I am, O Lord, I will follow you. I will lay down all of these other things of my life, my identity, my self-perceptions, my selfish desires, and anything else. I'll lay them down at your feet, and I will follow you." Let us pray. Almighty and ever-loving Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks that your love for us goes beyond any measure, that your love for us goes beyond any sins, any errors, any omissions and commissions that we might have done, but you see in us the potential to be your people, to be your sons and daughters with our lives. Help us, O Lord, to lay down the nets of our lives and to follow your Son, Jesus Christ, wherever he may lead. We pray this in his name and for his sake. Amen.